Hello, everybody. Welcome back to SMP Now. This is episode 54 for July 8th. Josh, who's sponsoring us today?
This week's episode is brought to you by Bank CDA. What is your relationship status with your bank? It's time to go steady with Bank CDA. You want local? You want flexible? You want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com.
Were we supposed to read that one?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, okay.
That's the right ad.
All right, gotcha.
Carrie. Mama Kay fixed it.
Gotcha. Monica, Josh. Josh, Monica. What's going on?
Chance, Josh. What's going on?
Monica, Chance. What up?
Yes. You know, I'm in the process of moving, so I can't find anything in my life at the moment.
I don't have any cars.
You don't have any cars, yeah.
You're moving. I don't have a car. What's going wrong in your world right now, Monica?
Oh, I have a lot of stuff, but I don't feel like disclosing it.
You can just pick one and commiserate with us.
If I had to pick one thing that's just really...
Something the least uncomfortable to share.
The least uncomfortable to share.
Yeah, you don't need to go deep. She's just like, we had to put my dog down yesterday. Jesus.
Emotionally, I'm just... I don't know. I think it's this COVID stuff, which is, for us, a mild inconvenience. But for people that have COVID or people where it's more serious, I know it's a bigger deal, but it's kind of cramping my style a little bit lately.
Sure, yeah. I get that.
Well, we can kind of get into that. That is technically our headline story for Friday, July 3rd.
I know that. That's why I segued right into that.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was intentional. That was a good one.
But we can also, add in some, because I had a nice chat with Dr. David Lawhorn.
Yes.
Perfect.
The first time you've ever gotten his name.
We have an individual who has a similar sounding name that I get confused with sometimes. But I had a conversation with the good doctor, and the good doctor is...
That's Bob's wife.
That's Bob's wife. I apologize, Bob. Anyway, I had that conversation, and it's very much, you know, we're still looking at statistics. Statistics are so, they're supposed to be hard facts, but they could not be more subjective when it comes to people. It's so weird.
Oh, gosh. And I know exactly what you're talking about, because as these case numbers are going up, and I mean, they're really going up.
Case numbers are going up.
But the problem is
we are reminded constantly on social media
that mortality rate is like plummeting. Hospitalization rate is plummeting to the point where if you looked just at statistics, we are existing in the midst of a gross overreaction.
It would appear.
The problem is that the severity of this sickness and the unknowns are really what's keeping us inconvenienced.
Correct.
It's a lack of knowing how to handle it. Because right now we know that, like, okay, well, if it gets real bad, we just put you on a ventilator and we'll figure it out.
And the statistics that we've seen, the very few facts that we know of for sure is that this is not good for older folks. Like 100%. Like if you look at like the mortality rates and whatnot, it is by and large the fatalities are seniors. Right. People with pre-existing conditions, that kind of thing.
Right.
So, but the decreasing mortality rates, you would think that's strange because while mortality rates go down, the cases are spiking.
Sure.
What is the cause of this?
Here's the real scary part. So even if this, like if 100% of the people in our country got tested positive for COVID-19, if it had a 99%, you'll be fine, a 1% mortality rate.
Which I think it's at 99.7 or something.
But even that 1%, like, that's still 32 million people. So then you divide that by 10. Like, 3.2 million people is every 10th there. And that's still a ton of people.
Yeah,
a lot of people.
Like, it's still a gross amount of, like, a huge number. So, I mean,
and that's general numbers, but then we break it down into, you know, who of those 32 million are actually fall into that category of high risk.
Right.
Because it is, and again, this has been backed up by Dr. Lawhorn that I've talked to many times. Like, this is dangerous to, like, he is stressing, like, nursing homes around here. Like, kudos to our nursing home staffs around here and everything like that. because they're doing a fantastic job, because it can't get into these places.
Right.
Like, it just can't. I mean, it could be literally a death sentence for a lot of these people.
Which, I mean, so, I mean, let's not really cut to the chase. Shoshone County had its first confirmed case last week.
Yes.
And we have now blossomed up to...
You and I make sure to say confirmed and official case.
Yes.
Because we've said on this podcast and in countless other stories that it's very likely that this isn't the very first COVID-19 positive person.
I mean, we knew 3 weeks ago that there was an athlete who had tested positive...
For the antibodies,
antibodies, but it wasn't released officially until yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
But also,
antibodies, it's a thing of like... But then again, that shows, because there's a... Like we go back to before on the people. If you're around our age or something like that and you don't have a pre-existing condition, this is going to hit you about as bad as, you know, a rough cold, mm-hmm. maybe a run-of-the-mill flu.
Right.
Josh, you and I have talked about many times how we thought we had it when you came back from Boise.
Right.
And, I mean, was it great? No. But was it, I mean, I've had strep throat that was...
I mean, I had mono once, so like...
Oh. Dang, B. Yeah. How'd you get mono?
Don't worry about it. No, mono was terrible. Like, you want to talk about like a real bad one.
Mono's, I heard mono is like, honestly, like one of the worst things you can get.
It like killed my metabolism. I went from being a pretty healthy little kid, got mono, my hair like fell out and died.
How old are you when you had mono?
Like, seventh grade.
Mono. Josh.
Mono.
Mono is terrible. Don't get it. Okay. It'll kill you.
Your hair fell out.
Metabolism. Gone.
Oof.
Like,
so you're like a bald 13-year-old child.
Just a bald little fat 13-year-old.
As if life wasn't hard enough.
Yeah. It got worse.
I'm sorry. That does suck.
No, but so you start looking at things like respiratory illnesses that you've had.
Sure.
This COVID thing doesn't... I know people who have passed away from this, so I don't want to devalue it. But the people that I know who have passed away from this are at risk.
Right.
Or they were at risk.
Sure. And we are in a community that, while it's not a high population density.
We don't have a high population density.
But we do have a lot of at-risk people.
Yeah, the majority of our population density is people who are at risk.
People over 65, people with pre-existing conditions, lung conditions, especially here in the Valley.
Although the lung conditions, a lot of the people who have histories of working underground.
Sure. Or if you're just a heavy smoker.
Right.
Which we do have around here.
The health report, that's one of our
biggest. But it can also be like they're hearing, this is like, speaking of statistics and facts, like it's, they're looking at, you know, it's also like a vascular disease. So it might not be shortness of breath anymore. It might be like you have like stroke-like symptoms, mm-hmm. and you might have, you know, it can come in like different forms, or the symptoms can come in different forms, especially like if you're asymptomatic, according to the list that they're giving us. Right. So it's even harder to detect. So that's why when they're pushing social distancing and avoiding people, like you'll be fine.
Sure.
Chance will be fine. I'm going to be fine. Is my dad going to be okay?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
So it's...
Absolutely.
And I think that's where you're talking about the unknowns.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we can look at the numbers all day, but really there's so much we don't know about it.
Right.
Which is the perfect... So when you start thinking about that, like the three of us
could say... I think that's where the controversy comes in, is that because we don't know so much, is do we overplay it safe, or... Do we take the inconvenience, even though we're not, maybe we're not...
I'm going to say that there are three...
I think that's the debated topic right now.
We have three rational people sitting in this office right now.
Yes.
Word. At least I like to think so.
Thank you, Josh. As a woman, thank you.
Yes. As a person who just became more than two-thirds of a person. Just kidding. We're just... Sorry, I couldn't help it.
I couldn't hold it together. I thought you were going to be real with me and you had to take it there.
No, but
that's so good.
We are three people who understand that there are unknowns, and the reason there's unknowns is quite simply because they're unknown.
Mm-hmm.
They're not unknown because there's something they're not telling us.
Sure.
That's not the case.
No, they don't know to tell us. Right,
because no one would do this kind of self-inflicted damage to an economy, to a country, to a voting
base. And there's no evidence that they did us. It's more along the lines of there's evidence to show that they don't know what they're talking about, either in the sense that they tried... And they've been CDC has flip-flopped many times, and that's how science works. Mm-hmm. You know, that they take the available information and they make a change based on it. It's not biased. Right. It doesn't stand its ground, you know, no matter. It doesn't hold its convictions. There are no convictions in science. When you have new information presented, you make a new informed decision.
Which really is, I think, the foundation for why I think people need to ditch this whole unwillingness to wear a mask.
Sure.
Because while we know that masks are not 100% effective, mm-hmm. and
depending on which mask you have is also...
Well, depending on which mask you have, but what we do know is putting anything over your mouth and nose...
Sure.
...substantially lowers the amount of...
Droplets.
...projectile droplets that come out of each of those orifices. So
this would be the point in the podcast if we had sound effects. I would say Dr. Droplets and then boop, boop,
boop. Oh, I forgot about Dr. Droplets.
Dr. Droplets.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was
he needs a voice.
No, he was a guy.
Was he a guy? Sorry about that.
It was like Luke Droplets or something like
that. Oh, this was a real person.
Yeah. Doctor,
I thought we were making up Dr. Droplets.
No, what was his name? Spitter.
Yeah.
There
Dr.
we go.
Spitter.
Yeah.
And I was like,
the only way it's worse is Dr. Droplets.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine
that was like COVID.
I imagine him having a British accent. Hello, I'm Dr. Droplets.
Yeah. That was like the beginning of COVID when we had Dr. Spitter.
Indubitably.
Indubitably. But we know that if you can keep the bulk of your spit and your fluids to yourself.
No, it's as someone who is all about that. It's so there was that meme going around about the Petri dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. And so this is a misleading one. Definitely I'm not saying that don't, like, a face mask is going to help. If there is something impeding... Is it 100% effective? Absolutely not. But if there's something in front of your face, basic common logic would state that it's got to be better than nothing. That being said, if you've seen that Petri dish meme going around, that is bacteria, not virus. Viruses are much smaller than the bacteria.
Well, it's designed to show you because those things incubate where things land.
Sure.
So what they've done is...
Viruses are so small, they infect that bacteria that's growing in that Petri dish.
So it really is one of those things where if you're not wearing a mask to keep you from getting anything, you're wearing a mask to keep yourself from spreading.
Surely.
And it's more of a compassion for your fellow human beings.
Sure.
Not so much a self-preservation tactic.
Sure.
But trying to convince...
Trying to keep those at-risk people...
Trying to convince 320 million people to do that when there's a really good group of them that think that wearing a mask is somehow an infringement upon their pursuit of happiness.
Right.
Those are alienable rights.
So we go back to the very beginning where we're talking about these statistics here. Diagnosed cases are skyrocketing, but mortality rate is going down.
Along with hospitalizations.
So is it because that people are starting to realize that it's like if I'm COVID positive, it's not necessary. Like early on, there were so many unknowns that like, right, you thought this could be a death sentence kind of thing for anyone.
Right.
Whereas now we're starting to realize that unless I fall into one of those two categories, I'll probably be fine.
If you're COVID positive, you're low key putting that mask on, sneaking into the store, buying some Tylenol and Robitussin, and going to like fix it yourself.
Sure.
You know,
I mean,
nothing
just like,
they can do. They can't give you anything. There's no cure yet.
Mm-hmm. No, but you talk about like low key, like that's what you want to be, but technically you're supposed to be helping them contact trace where the hell you got it from.
Sure.
Right.
So it's like I kind of was talking to Willie the other day, and I'm like, it's kind of borderline like. If you had an STD and you got to call your sexual partners and be like,
sure,
hey man, sorry, my bad, but like you have to do it because otherwise, I mean, it's embarrassing. But Willie said, and I don't know.
And that range is a lot larger. I mean, not to get too into
it. Yeah, where did you, what, like, what people have you breathed around?
Right,
right. Like, yeah, no, right. It's like on a different level.
Like, that's one, you know, that's but, one to, you know, but hopefully.
It's still embarrassing.
Like,
I mean,
it's almost worth, like, this sounds terrible, but Facebook post.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I tested positive for COVID. If you've been around me in the last 2 weeks,
and Josh and I, Josh and I actually had this conversation. I'm glad you guys brought this up because it there needs to not be a stigma. If you're listening to this and there and you are COVID positive, there should not be a stigma around you getting it. Like you didn't, unless you purposely contracted and then tried to purposely spread to people.
But if you put yourself in a situation like where maybe you went out,
sure,
one night. There was a big party at a bar you like. I don't know. And then there were a bunch of people there, and you test positive for COVID. Like, you are that a-hole that put yourself in that position. Sure. And you should feel a little bit of shame.
But not, like... It's the difference between going out to the bar and not, like, purposely trying to do it versus, like, going to a COVID party.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm talking... Like the old days, the chicken pox parties, where like you would take kids to go to, like, so they would
get it out of the way.
Correct. And COVID parties are a thing.
That's awful.
I know, right?
That's terrible. But if you're just out and about, like if you went into Yokes, or like if you're just living your life, and you're taking some precautions, maybe not all of them, because you're like the rest of America, and you just decided that you were over it. No, you should not. There should be no stigma with that.
Sure.
That was just, you're just doing what everybody else is doing. You're working with the information you have, and you shouldn't be reprimanded for that.
It would help, too, that if this, like, this illness, this virus didn't come with the most mundane of symptoms.
Right.
You get a runny nose.
Yeah, you might be kind of nauseous.
You especially, might get kinda
especially in the not-at-risk group. Like, you know,
right.
Like, we burned through it in, again, we're assuming we had it, 3 days' time.
Like, I exist in a constant state of allergy.
That's true.
And, like, and not, like, crunchy eyes, like, some of those symptoms. I have, like, a sore throat, like, 7 months out of the year.
Right.
I have a runny nose, like, 7 months out of the year.
Sure.
I have a cough. I'm stuffed up. There are days I'll even have hay fever. I don't have COVID, but, man, they've convinced me that I have every single one of their... Dang right. Symptoms.
Again, it doesn't help the unknown. Monica mentioned the unknowns. Like, at this point, the list of what is considered a COVID symptom, I mean, it's the list continues to grow.
At this juncture, COVID's a pandemic that they're paying people out for. You test positive for it, go enjoy your 2 weeks off. Stay at home.
Yeah, if you got it, flaunt it.
Beat that video game that you haven't
there you go.
Beat yet, you know? Yeah, have some you time.
Absolutely. So, the headline of that paper was that we had our first official case in Shoshone County last Thursday.
Last Thursday.
Confirmed on last Thursday in the Friday paper. This individual was a male in his 30s.
Lives in Pinehurst.
The local chatter as it comes from one of the mines.
Yeah. I heard rumor that it
in fact it's not really a kept secret anymore. There's been certain things kept put into place at one of those mines in particular to have extra precaution. So it's not really
and a secret. I mean anymore. That's unfortunately as I spit on my keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Just Monica leans back.
Monica's gonna sit back here.
Oh, hey, droplets, what's up?
Sit an extra 6 inches. I'm gonna add 6 inches to my six.
Dr. Droplets.
6'6", you are officially far enough away that we could put Michael Jordan between us.
Dang B.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah, there you go. But we now have, what, 3 confirmed cases?
Now we are at 3. Yeah. Brood Awakening actually came out and publicly stated on their Facebook page that one of their baristas...
Right. Tested positive. But since then...
They posted on there that individual had not worked there since June 15th.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, why don't you lead with that?
Well, I assumed you'd seen the post.
I don't have Facebook.
That's right.
I'm not
that's
on
fair.
Facebook, so you got to tell me.
That was
things.
A sweet fish right there because Chance bought us coffee this morning from Brood Awakening. So Monica, unbeknownst to her, was going. What?
I've been sipping on this coffee for like 20 minutes, and I'm like, what in God's name?
There is no science to prove that COVID spreads through coffee.
At least none that I've seen.
That fact probably comes out next week. But no, so
but so two female individuals, both in their 20s. One of them we know just because of a Facebook post. Mm-hmm. was from that particular business that worked there, but hadn't done it for some time.
Right.
So not too concerning for customers there, but I mean anyone who has been around these individuals, which yeah. we've in our own little investigations have come up to is a few.
Right.
So I wouldn't. I spoke with Dr. Lawhorn. He wouldn't be surprised if our cases jump 10, 20 here in the next week or so, just because of the amount of contact that those individuals had. And again, going back to the lack of symptoms.
Right.
You know, the first person who went in, he was diagnosed because he went in for something completely different. He went into SMC for something completely different.
Oh no!
Didn't even go in for.
Went for routine physical, came out of
that or a physical injury, you know, like a physical injury, you know, something right. like that. And because they just checked him off the list, that's how he was diagnosed. So,
I think at this point we need to not exist in a state of panic, but in a state of like compassion.
Yes, absolutely.
Just you know, if you go somewhere. And that place asks you to put a mask on for their own comfort because they don't want you to, they don't want to catch anything that you might have. Mm-hmm. Respect it. Mm-hmm. If you go places where they don't require a mask, like, then no harm, no foul.
Right. Like, you should be able to treat it like, I mean, any other business that requires you to do something. Like, if a business says, like, you can't bring your dog in here, like, respect that.
Right, right.
It should be just like anything, just like anything that. Like that.
So, cool.
Cool.
Josh.
Middle of the page.
Yeah.
A rootin' tootin' good time.
Yeah, let's move on to this. This seems a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm.
The old Sixth Street Melodrama has opened their July production. It is a melodrama called Rustlers at the Ranch or How Swift the Tailors Run, which is super funny. Josh. This is the play being directed by a recent Kellogg High School graduate. Drake Deuce. The play was actually written by local theater legend Paul Roberts. It's super funny. Incredibly young cast. I wouldn't... If I heard that everyone in that cast was under 24 years of age, I would not be surprised. It's the story of these two, like, one dude's like... I'm trying to think.
Didn't you see this show, Josh?
No, I'm trying to. Oh. I saw the show, but I'm trying to describe it. So it's the sly bad guy and his
gotcha,
the con man.
His you know dim-witted henchman, and that's the two on the front page there, played by Garrick McGilvery and what's his name, Tim Lee, and his name was what, Simon and Deke.
Okay,
Deke is the dim-witted one, but Tim is probably one of the funniest parts of the play. They find this house near Kellogg as they're fleeing Wallace during the 1910 fire, which, I don't know, they almost alluded to the fact that they might have been the ones that started it.
That's awesome.
And they come upon this like unsuspecting ranch where the farmer and his family all live there. The farmer got like kicked by a horse and lost his sight. Or he was fighting the fire. Like they make it almost sound like he's like a like kind of a dummy, and there's multiple reasons this man could have lost his sight. He lives there with his pregnant wife, and she's like days from having a baby, and her mother. And the mother, Granny Kavanaugh, is played by Dayla Williams, and she is about as funny. She's like the mean old lady who doesn't really care for her son-in-law. She's hitting people with Bibles.
Great.
Putting people to work. Like it was fun. And quite frankly, just nice to get back to going and watching a play. Mm-hmm. Like, we haven't been able to go and do stuff like that for months. In fact, right before this whole thing kicked off, I had just done my review of the Church Basement Ladies.
Yes.
And it was a week into its run, and then COVID shut everything down. Mm. And that was... One of the funniest plays ever from a sense that I understand these Norwegian ladies in the basement.
Right.
But this one, Super fun. Totally worth it. Every Wednesday through Saturday at 7 o'clock. And then Sundays at 2, they have showings. So go check out the 6th Street Theater in Wallace.
So I was in Wallace. This is so funny. On Thursday, and I had some friends from out of town, and they had never really been to Wallace, or one of them hadn't been to Wallace before. And we were walking down the street, like past, like right by Blackboard, and we look across the street, and there's like, there's a group of like ladies dressed in like prairie gear, and then like a group, like three guys, they're walking towards each other, like snapping their fingers, like a West Side Story style, like rumble. Mm-hmm. And my friends are just like, whoa. And I'm like, yeah, that happens all the time. But I've never seen that either. You know, I was trying to play it cool. And they're like, what is happening right now? And I'm like, truth, I honestly don't know, but this is like the coolest thing I've ever seen happen. And it was, they, you know, had like a couple clusters of people out promoting the show. So then we ran into the ladies, and it was one of them, it was a pregnant lady. It was Harley Deuce. And so I ran into her and two of the other ladies. I didn't catch their names, but they were younger girls. And so we ran into them, and they handed us a pamphlet. And we're like, we saw your little battle down the street. But it was like the best advertising I've ever seen. Because we, like,
you'll never forget it.
Oh, no. And immediately piqued our curiosity. And then, like, my friend's husband was, like, obsessed with the melodrama after that. He's like, can we go check that out? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't think we can go tonight. But he was, like, really into it. And they had us hooked. But they were out there. They were out there hustling and, like, promoting the show. That's, they did cool. An amazing job. Yeah, it was honestly, like, one of the coolest things. And then after that, we saw, like, people ripping down the street on their quads. Like, almost running people over in the streets. And I was like, this is a full Wallace experience. This is like you're getting it all. Like almost getting run over by a quad while you're taking a photo at the center of the universe. Like it doesn't get more Wallace than that. Yeah. But that's awesome.
Perfect.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's totally worth the show. They're only doing about 50% capacity. So 44 seats out of the 88, which still kind of blows my mind that they have seating for 88 in there.
That is crazy, right?
But 44 seats. They have the concession stand still open, but everything's prepackaged.
Mm.
Yeah, and they do ask that if you go to watch a play that you wear a mask. Small room, not a lot of ventilation. It's really not. It wouldn't be. It's like a petri dish. But if you have a mask on, it's fine. And they keep it pretty cool in there, so it's not like you're not dying of like exposure.
Allergies. So.
Other side rail. This one, Chance. This one kind of happened late Wednesday night, and...
Yeah, this developed for a while.
Late Wednesday night.
We actually even had a development that isn't in the story this morning.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, let me pull up...
Is this a story about Jiminy Rickets? Rickety Crickets? What's that thing from It's Always Sunny?
Rickety Cricket?
That's what the story is?
The Jiminy Cricket. The pastor who ends up like homeless and addicted to
drugs. Rickety Crickets or what is? Let me look it up.
He loves D. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, man.
No, this isn't about close. Jiminy Cricket or Rickety whomever.
Cricket.
Rickety Cricket. This is about Ryan Ricketts. Suspected Knuckles Gold standoff arrested. And this story, we'll be honest, this story actually developed, it was kind of blown out of proportion immediately on another blogging site online, kind of put out some news that wasn't exactly accurate, kind of blew things out of proportion, but we ran up there to go check things out, and it wasn't, like, unlike how it was initially put out online, it was not a shootout. What happened was Mr. Ryan Ricketts of Osborne, formerly of Kellogg, Josh, you wrote some stories about Mr. Ricketts.
Mm-hmm.
What was that, a year or two ago?
Like 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, he was initially...
He was involved in a fight that resulted in a guy like dying.
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly.
Well, he died. He didn't allegedly die.
Yeah, he was in a fight with a guy, and the guy later died, but it was...
Not as a result of the fight. Determined to not be anyway.
Yeah, it was... It was a very odd situation.
Yes. But in any case, Mr. Ricketts was taken into custody last Thursday afternoon at the at his home in Knuckles Gulch, Osborne, the same home where the standoff occurred the night before. According to a source close to the suspect, the entire situation began on Tuesday, June 30th, when Ricketts and a neighbor got into a disagreement over fireworks. Ricketts was allegedly shooting them off, and the neighbor took exception. This disagreement carried over the next day when Ricketts again shot off the fireworks. This second dispute led to them led to 911 being called and SCSO deputies being dispatched to the area. That night at 6:56 p.m., responding deputies arrived on scene and they witnessed Ricketts fire a handgun into the ground. Considering Mr. Ricketts is a convicted felon, he cannot have a firearm. Oof. So deputies retreated, called for backup, set up a perimeter, and after a few hours of talking, they found out that it was Mr. Ricketts. And now that this person was booked as of this morning, Heather Therrien was also with them and two juveniles in the home. At first, Heather came out of the home and so she was the first to come out of the home. Then the children came out of the home. And then as they went into the home to go get Ricketts, he had used the release of the children as a screen to run into the woods.
Oh, jeez.
So,
And Ms. Therrien proceeded to try to put out fires all over social media.
She tried to put out a lot of misinformation about the situation, trying to say that there was no handgun, that kind of thing, which they're clearly
none of that was corroborated by the police.
None.
You know, as far as official sources go.
And in fact, she's being charged right now with destruction of evidence, accessory to felony, harboring, and injury to children. So those are some pretty serious charges.
Yeah, that's a real shame.
In the story, she's referred to as the female because she was not being charged with anything at the time. Now she is.
But now she is.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming these two situations are related, given the fact that...
Oh, it's definitely... Yeah, she's definitely... So Ricketts was... He got away that night. Law enforcement didn't want to chase him through the woods. Why would you?
Yeah.
You'll find him the next day. Like, it's not like he's going anywhere.
You're going to suss him out a little bit.
Right, in any case.
He's going to get hungry.
Yeah. Right, one way or cold or whatever. Yeah. So anyway, Mr. Ricketts ended up going back to the house the next day. They ran into him and Ms. Therrien had a conversation. They took Ricketts into custody without incident. And then now, as of July 6th, now Ms. Therrien is now in custody as well. Mm-hmm. So both people involved in that situation have been arrested, and the children, reported by SCSO, the children have been taken into protective custody by the state. So interesting situation, definitely a strange turn of events, a series of events for sure. But
to say the least, yes.
Did not. As initially released from certain other people, was not a shootout.
Right.
There was no exchange of fire. No deputies were shot. Nothing like that.
Yeah. So, see? Fireworks. Get rid of fireworks.
Yep. There we go. Moving to the bottom, but we'll just move. No, I'll just move to the Tuesday. Tuesday, July 7th.
Could move to the Tuesday, July 7th, but I need to ask you a question.
Oh, okay.
Do you like to wash your own car? Oh, go to Silver Valley Tire and purchase 10 car washes, and you get one free. High-powered wash that does it all for you. Soap, rinse, wax, protective coat, and lastly, a nice dry as you leave the wash bay.
Okay.
Your car comes out of clean and looks great.
I love it.
Stop in at 407 West Cameron Avenue in Kellogg, Idaho.
Okay, all right.
Well, Silver Valley Tire.
Silver Valley Tire, yeah. I actually got to witness Wheels play a little bit on 4th of July.
You don't see what?
Wheels. What's his actual name?
Wheels.
He's a person?
Everybody just calls him Wheels, yeah.
From Silver Valley Tire?
No, it's something Brazil.
Yes, that's right. It is Brazil, but
from
we can't
Sevierwood.
Yes, correct.
Is he the
bass player.
Bass player.
The drummer is the new guy from Nashville.
Yeah, who was like playing with a dude from The Voice for a while.
He's got some skill, for sure.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah. But anyway, I got to hear him jam a little bit this weekend.
So, Tuesday,
July 7th. Headline was COVID, but we don't need to get back into that again.
Yeah.
You're up to speed.
Hallelujah.
You're up to speed. As of that day, what, I guess we could say the total number. What are we up to in North Idaho now?
Like 500 and something.
Something like that. Panhandle Health.
Yeah. The COVID count is a little high.
It is going up there. We were the last county to...
I think it's funny that as soon as we got our first case right over the border in Montana, Sanders County got their first case, too.
Yeah.
Not surprising.
Governor Little will host a press conference today. Ooh.
Oh,
everybody who's listening, you'll know what the press conference was about. We won't be able to get that
thrilling on
here. But 90 new cases. So five, as of yesterday, so July 6th, we're at 511 in the Panhandle area.
Oof.
With how many is that active? So 373 active. one death.
I mean, yeah, one death happened weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. And it was a person in their, I think, 60s.
An at-risk person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. The center of the page, we always like to do this for 4th of July. We actually asked you guys online to send us some of your favorite 4th of July photos.
Mm-hmm. And I like when you do this. I like when you let them send them in.
We like doing this too. Between
it's less work for us. Well, that
too. So we were technically, I mean, again, I'm sure anybody who called our office yesterday, we were closed. We took that day as the holiday, so don't think that we were ignoring you.
Right.
in any case, we had three submissions actually. One of them, it was important. I wanted to put in the parade from Avery, considering that was pretty much the only 4th of July festivity that occurred in Shoshone County, other than fireworks, of course. Avery down there held a parade. Even the Calder area got in on that too. From the photos and the video that we shared on Facebook, pretty significant one too.
Yeah.
Well attended. So, good for them. Good for them. I've actually got another story coming out of Avery too here on Friday. So,
right,
big deal on that. Another photo. Who was the?
We had Carol Roberts.
Yes,
she took a nice one from looks like her driveway.
Yep, with a fire pit and
yeah,
and then the other one was from Osborne.
Yes, the other one was from Osborne. So we had some good fireworks taken shows. By,
who is that? It was Carol Roberts and then
Tina.
Abigail Travis.
Oh, Abigail Travis.
Abigail Travis. Abigail Travis, Carol Roberts, and Lori Hill. Thank you guys your submissions.
No Tinas at all.
What's that?
Not a single Tina.
Yeah, I don't know what you're getting.
I didn't know you were getting that. And Tina?
I like how you did that laugh there. Like a person in a straitjacket.
That's how I feel a little bit today.
There you go.
Nah, that's cool. Fireworks pictures.
They're always fun if you can get a good one.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
and they're hard to get.
We thank you guys for getting those.
Because if you use a flash, you get smoke.
Yep.
So
you have to, like, it's not easy taking pictures of fireworks.
We could talk about that for a slight second. I mean, so even though there was... So the only official fireworks show was at Silver.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, but fireworks shows were plenty to be found.
Oh gosh, more fireworks! This was like the biggest fireworks year.
People
needed to blow off steam, and they were like,
"Yep,
I got the stimulus check.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going nuts with fireworks.
Going to Montana.
I'm gonna celebrate my freedom."
Literally from Avery to Murray, from Mullen to Cataldo, like there were fireworks shows everywhere.
There was a pretty ridiculous photo that got posted from. Down in Boise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys saw it.
Mm-mm.
People. Hold on. I got to see it right here.
And I'm seeing, you know, the listeners can't see
it. No, I know this, okay. But I want you guys to see it. It's not Photoshopped either.
Let's describe it. Holy hell.
Yeah, I saw that.
That looks like something in Japan.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was a video going around on Facebook too. Like California basically said, like, not even legal fireworks. Not so, even like the safe and sane ones.
It's like a city skyline of Boise, yeah, from up above, and it's like literally, it's like a
cloud of fireworks.
The whole horizon is covered in fireworks. Yeah. Like they're like the aerial ones. It's like a strip of fireworks. Like if you took what we saw this weekend and multiplied it by like,
and
I don't know,
just put it across.
Cut and paste, yeah. Cut and paste across the skyline.
And I actually looked at this photo for a while trying to see if there was some cut and paste, like they had done that. No, this is. I was pretty blown away by it. So, you know, it's funny because you can tell that a lot of these aftermarket firework vendors only go up so high because there's only one. There's like, they're like at a certain level.
They're like perfectly even.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's amazing.
It's pretty cool.
Were those their city fireworks though? Or is that just like.
From what I have gathered, that was people firing them off.
Holy.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Heck.
So, and the same thing happened here. Like we said, Kellogg was the only official show, but I mean, I heard on the radio, on the scanner that night.
Kip did a
dude injured by fireworks in Mullen. I
sat on my back porch. I missed the Kellogg show, but man, down there on the East Portland end,
mm-hmm.
there was no shortage of
all over
blasting fireworks.
Our neighbors a couple, like about a, I don't know, maybe on Monday or something, they like walked over and they're like, hey, we're just letting everyone in the neighborhood know that has dogs that we're lighting off fireworks. And I was like, okay, big whoop. Like, mm-hmm. I was picturing fountains and, you know, like the standard stuff. And no joke, it was like,
it was crazy. Like, they were doing, like, full blown. I bet that sounded
cool up there, though.
It did sound pretty cool. And it was, like, right on my street. You know, I go back and, you know, there are pros and cons to that, but it was cool. Like, they were from, like, me to, like, your front door away, just, whoa, like, lighting off, like, artillery shells and, like, mortars and stuff, like, the big ones that go up in the sky. And, like, the cartridges, the empty cartridges, were, again, cool but not cool, raining down on our roofs. So, mm-hmm, like, they would, like, the fireworks would go off, and then it would sound like rain, and then, like, mm-hmm, a bunch of the empty cartridges are, like, in my yard, which I'm not thrilled about, but they did do a pretty good job of cleaning up the streets. So, but they were, when they told me they were lighting up fireworks, I was just kind of like, yeah, whatever, go ahead. There must
have been like this long conga line of people going to the res to buy fireworks this year.
Reservation, the, Montana.
Dude, I bet they made some buku bang.
Realistically, you can go in the panhandle. You can go
east, west, and south. Not even an hour away from legal fireworks. You can get in any direction.
Fireworks, because if you go to Montana, it's like anything goes, mm-hmm, over there. To the south, we have a reservation. And then to the west, we have...
Oh yeah, they set up at Warpath, like literally on the, like right where the,
dude, you can buy like 600 bottle rockets in Shawila for like $10.
Yeah,
like, yep, it's just game time.
Yep, pretty much. But no, that was it was definitely an eventful one. I mean, there were even few like professional level shows up the North Fork.
Yeah,
like a lot of them. So,
yeah,
crazy.
Not a huge firework guy, but that's cool.
That was cool.
Silver Hoops has officially been canceled.
Whoop.
Yeah, there was really this last little spike is what did it. 3 weeks ago, the event was on pace, on course to really probably happen. The group that I'm a part of, so I'll just be honest, I was a part of the group trying to put it on. We had come up with a plan that I think would have gotten past Panhandle Health.
Mm-hmm.
It was very clean. It was going to utilize checkerboarding the courts so that there was ample social distancing,
mm-hmm,
hand washing facilities. We were getting rid of the really, really little kid divisions,
mm-hmm,
because those tend to be, you know, lots of people come for those little kids, and those kids, all six of them on the court, play within 4 feet of each, mm-hmm, other. We had done a lot of things to really get this to happen. But this latest spike in positive cases kind of just slammed the door shut.
The death strokes.
The problem really comes down to the fact that the Kellogg City Council is only listening to requests for events at the beginning of the month. Hmm. And this event is at the end of the month.
Gotcha.
Hmm. So in good faith, with all the things spiking, you can't go and ask for a large event permit. So it was it's a victim of timing. I'm not saying that by the end of July it's going to be better. It could be.
But we don't know.
We don't know.
Right.
Again,
it's depending on what numbers you care about.
Right. But what we do know is the bulk of these cases, actually, the positive cases, are in 18 to 29-year-olds, which is like the Silver Hoops target audience.
Sure.
That doesn't mean that there's a bunch of 18 to 29-year-olds that are sick.
Maybe that goes back to why mortality rate is going down, because it's mostly prevalent among...
Yeah, the positive cases that we're seeing are against amongst people who aren't going
who to... Who aren't the ones that, yeah, are going, yeah, to, are going to feel it the least. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's definitely a blow. This was going to, I think, this was going to be year 30.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of sucks. It's also coming off of last year, which was the biggest one ever.
Mm-hmm.
So
and what kick about, back up.
See, I always say, Hoop Fest.
So Hoop Fest is still on course to go, but they're not scheduled till August 20th, 22nd, 23rd. Mm-hmm. I mean, still 6 weeks.
Yeah, but I mean,
Washington's
the bigger scheme of things. Like,
I think they're still, I mean, if things stay exactly the same, then they'll have to cancel, because Washington's has higher regulations.
Right. But that also, I mean, when you start talking on the grand scheme of things,
it's not a recommendation. Like, it's required to wear a mask there, and that's just not going to
fly. If they lower that requirement, or if they take, I mean, if you watch any sports right now, NBA players are gearing up for their return to Orlando, where they're going to resume their season. A lot of their guys right now are practicing with, like, gator face coverings.
Sure.
And they're saying it's not really restricting... I mean, they're not playing with glasses.
Sure.
So, you know.
Just got to make sure everybody's got one, though.
Right. Well, I mean,
Hoopfest players don't make as much money as an NBA player.
Yes, but Hoopfest also makes sure that every single person who's playing is wearing a Nike t-shirt that says Hoopfest.
That's true. That's
so true. They definitely know how to make sure that everyone has...
If they could do it, it's them. If there's someone that could do it, it's them.
Yeah, they're going to be able to pull it off, I think. But it also brings in millions of dollars.
Yep.
Like, you have to look at that and go... Well, can we take a $10 million hit? So,
right.
Hopefully it happens. I know the basketball culture here in this part of the world, the Pacific Northwest, is massive. I have friends from Detroit who don't even know what 3-on-3s are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very crazy to think that we have the world's biggest one right in our backyard. And just a shame that our local one had to get canceled, but I get it.
Yep.
You know what? It might be... It's still a ways out. I think they're kind of holding on. They're holding on to it as long as they can, you know, right. Just like they're trying and they've got plans in place, but I wouldn't put my money on it because I'm right. A millennial and I'm broke all the time. But I would say that it will probably get canceled.
I mean,
I think they're going to wait as long as they can. And just like anybody would, they're going to see with more time to see how it turns out. But I think it's going to end up.
Yeah, they'll have until the beginning of August to make a decision.
Okay. So we got a couple weeks left, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
What else you got?
Teeters.
What's that?
Teeters.
Teeters. What about teeters? Talk to us
about teeters.
So, the city of Kellogg, I guess, put out some hopes. Like, they wanted to put a project together to move the concession stand down to Teeters Field.
Okay.
Anyone who's been down there or played down there or existed down there knows that it's dangerously close to the back end line of our football field.
Mm-hmm.
And it also exists, like you have to walk down onto the field. And, I mean, you're kind of in the way in some instances. If people are playing, like, if the game has shifted to the west end of the field, like, you are in the danger zone if there's a line at that concession stand. So, and with, like, soccer and stuff like that, the field actually extends. And so even more, you lose more room if the concession stand is down there. So they've wanted to move that concession stand up into... from what I've gathered, I haven't seen the specific plans, but mm-hmm. they want to move it up into the bleacher area, kind of where, like, the first section of bleachers is.
Okay.
One of the things, though, they put the project out to bid. They only got one bid on it, and it was about $80,000 higher than what their engineers had estimated. The company who had put the bid in was out of Post Falls, and one of the things they cited was they weren't terribly happy with the foundation design
of the bleachers. Like where they're talking about moving them. Okay.
Yeah, and some of the materials that they wanted to use, they like kind of over quoted them or overbid based on this stuff. The city wasn't terribly pleased about that. Obviously, they don't have like a ton of money just to throw around. So they talked to Alta Science and Engineers, who mm-hmm. I think is probably the city's engineer at this point, because they designed like all their sewer project and
that
all that
sounds
stuff.
About right, yeah.
And they are going to put the project out to rebid.
Well, that's smart.
Because
if it's something that's not time pressing.
I've always said that thing needed to be replaced.
And because it also has the bathrooms, too. I mean, the bathrooms for the football field are down there. So whatever they do, there's going to have to be some plumbing involved, I would assume.
Yeah, and that's going to be weird with the way that it's set up.
It should be handled like it needs to be like the public restroom, in my opinion.
By the park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how that should be always open kind of thing, in my eyes. I mean, I understand why you probably don't want people...
Well, that one you don't want, I mean, it's...
Hanging around all the time, but at the same time...
Yeah, because the city owns the football field.
Yeah.
Unlike most places where the school owns it,
sure.
The city owns this one. And it needs to be accessible so that it can be used for other sports. Soccer,
agreed.
We have baseball played down there.
Yep.
One of the main concerns was being able to get in there, break the foundation up, and then to remove those pieces of concrete, you'd have to go across the field. Well, over there on that the south edge of the field... It is a little muddy.
Yeah, and it gets really bogged, like swampy.
Yeah, and if you take heavy machinery over there, you're going to tear up the field too.
Yep.
So there is a little bit of a like a concern there mm-hmm. about tearing that up. But I talked to Craig Lewis. They're going to put the project out for rebid, and Yeah, I think once they get it done, they're going to rebid it in the fall, and hopefully they'll have it fixed by the coming, not this football season, but the next football season.
All right. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Nice to hear on that.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I think that's it for our Tuesday paper.
Dang, B.
I think that is.
I think that's it, yeah.
Look at you guys go.
Yeah, we're trying.
Burning through things.
Burning through it. Hey, well, if you're looking for a refreshing, locally made beer, check out Radio Brewing at 319 Main Street in Uptown Kellogg. Their craft beer is complemented with quality, creative, and rustic food, and they've added some new items on the menu. They love everything about beer, studying it, making it, and most definitely drinking it. They're open 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. through 12 a.m. Radio Brewing, put radio in your mouth hole.
All right, so this week we do not have an interview, so actually we've also got a lot of regional headlines to get to, so we're just going to jump right into that, all right?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we've got a monster load of regional headlines.
Definitely, yeah, so let's just cut on over to our regional headlines. Here we go.
Perfect.
This week's regional headlines are sponsored by Julie Zook. It's a great time to sell your house because inventory is low. Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty is a lifelong resident of the Silver Valley. She's a local realtor who is connected and knows every nook and cranny of our beautiful community. Contact Julie at 208-659-1764. She is your best friend in real estate.
The Route of the Hiawatha and Lookout Pass are now hiring summer positions, bike renters, guest service and cashiers, trail marshals, vehicle mechanics, and bus drivers. You can apply in person or call them at 208-744-1301 or email jobs@skilookout.com. Lookout Pass is an equal opportunity employer.
All right.
Regionals.
We got a lot of regionals today.
Not all of them are happy. I'm going to be very honest.
No, but a lot of them are kind of important. One of them in particular, stopping any southbound traffic.
Yeah, that one.
I bet that really messed with people's holiday. I'm going to be real honest.
I have a friend named Zach Swan.
Yeah.
He travels to and from Lewiston all the time.
Okay.
And he had to go very much out of his way.
Well, the rock slide was at Riggins, so that's south of Lewiston.
He was heading home.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that would basically make him stuck in Riggins for a long time.
Which is just not a place that you necessarily want to be stuck.
No, not necessarily. I spent some time there a little bit, and that's not the...
It's not terrible. It's just not... I mean, if you're trying to go somewhere, that's not where you want to be.
No. It's a destination spot for, like, whitewater rafters and stuff, but... Yeah.
And so we had that. We had a couple fires.
Yes,
there's a couple fires in the area.
Yeah, there. Let's just dive into it.
You want to kick it off?
Let me. I haven't pulled up my regionals yet. I was talking.
I'm going with my first one. I've got
it. Go for it. Yeah, go for it.
So this is the most recent story in a string of stories by Bill Bewley, Fathers, Children Among Victims. So as most people know, on was it Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday. Either Sunday late afternoon, mid-afternoon, mid-air collision over Lake Coeur d'Alene between two airplanes resulted in the loss of life of 8 people.
Mm-hmm.
Officials from Kootenai County Sheriff's Office are working to recover the planes and the victims who are submerged at a depth of like 130 feet. They know for sure that a charter plane carrying 5 passengers and a pilot from Brooks Seaplane Service, the charter service that runs off of Lake Coeur d'Alene, they collided with another aircraft carrying a pilot and 1 passenger at 2:20 p.m. Witnesses described a fireball in the sky before both planes crashed into the water between Powderhorn Bay and Black Bay, and then they sank quickly. The plane's like, so from what I've gathered, one of the planes was on its normal flight path or scheduled flight path, while the other plane was not on their flight path. So far, 3 bodies. Initially, they were able to recover 2 bodies like the day of. Since then, 3 more bodies had been recovered from the water, and another 2 have been discovered within the wreckage. So they're using like divers and like robots and stuff like that. One of the victims, Neil Lunt, 58, of Liberty Lake, was piloting the seaplane occupied by Sean Fredrickson, 48, of Lake Oswego, Oregon. A 16-year-old girl, a 16-year-old boy, and an 11-year-old boy were identified as passengers. The names of the juveniles, they're not giving those out, but all three of the kids were Fredrickson's children and stepchildren.
Gotcha.
They're still working to identify the sixth occupant. Lunt was a retired commercial pilot who bought Brooks Seaplanes in 2008. His son Noah was his business partner. Yeah, just a real sad situation.
Yeah. I can't even... It's really cool the stuff that they're using to... I mean, you know, very grim situation, but kind of cool the stuff that they're using out there. Timing of everything. The Coast Guard was out on, you know, Lake Coeur d'Alene, which is kind of weird, but cool at the same time.
Yeah.
You just don't hear about that kind of thing, you know?
No.
Planes crashing into each other. Out on the Lake Coeur d'Alene, if there's a place for it to happen, Lake Coeur d'Alene makes sense because there's a lot of... I mean, everybody uses the lake as a landing and takeoff strip.
Right.
You know, they've got the landing gear that's made specifically for landing on water. So, that might have how it happened. They haven't really made it clear yet on how that worked out. Like, I just can't imagine it being a midair collision. That's just so... That would be so weird.
Right. And like I said,
it's got to be a situation where they were landing and there was just no way around it kind of thing. I don't know.
Something. But like I said, one of the planes reportedly was on its scheduled flight path.
Okay.
While the other plane
was
not on the flight path. Why can I not say flight path? I want to say flight path.
Flight path.
It's a hard one to say.
Or flight plan.
Yeah. The other plane was not
following
theirs. That's, I heard that hasn't been confirmed yet. But, I mean, you would think that...
The one that regularly does that trip all the time, right. The actual company that works there. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Makes sense.
Tough situation there.
Very much so. All right, jumping over, coming out of the Bonner County Daily Bee, Washington man killed in accident. This is coming out of Naples. Washington State man was killed when the log truck he was driving left U.S. 95 near Naples, according to Idaho State Police. Troy D. Armstrong, 54, of Kennewick, Washington, was northbound about 10:54 a.m. Tuesday, let's see here, lost my place, sorry about that. Tuesday on U.S. 95 near milepost 496 south of Naples near Stampede Lake in a 2005 Kenworth-loaded log truck. Armstrong left the roadway, entering the northbound ditch, striking a power pole, overturning, and losing his load of logs onto the highway, Idaho State Police said in a press release. Armstrong's vehicle continued up the embankment, coming to rest on the driver's side. Armstrong succumbed to his injuries at the scene, and he was wearing his seatbelt. Always tough when you have those logging trucks, man. They can be deadly. I mean, we know here in the Valley for sure, but, I mean, anywhere.
That stretch out there, man.
I don't know how 95... I mean, I've driven it my entire life, and it... I mean, yeah, there's some twists and turns here and there, but it just seems so open. I don't know how people get in... It's dangerous, I get. Maybe
they're sucked in by that monotony of it.
Maybe.
And then they...
Because there's not a lot to look at on the way... I don't know.
But it does seem to claim...
95 is
more
really,
victims. Man. That north stretch of 95 there between Coeur
d'Alene... Like, we've got our hot spot... Like, we've got our time, you know, like during the winter when the semi-trucks are trying to make it over the pass and they try to just keep the same speed limit.
Right.
But, man, 95 is always a consistent.
Yeah.
It's always got something going on. That's weird.
Hey, Feed Your Need Marketplace and Health Bar offers smoothies and smoothie bowls, as well as gifts, home decor, and other items all crafted or upcycled by local and regional artisans. There is something for everyone. Follow Feed Your Need on Instagram and Facebook to see all of the wonderful things in the store. Located at 117 McKinley Avenue in Uptown Kellogg, they have extended their hours and are now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m., and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. They are here to feed your need. Nailed it.
Nice. That was good. No home decor.
No home decor.
Home decor.
So this, I got this regional here.
Go for it.
Music video raises COVID-19 awareness among tribal youth. I wanted to break up some of our sad stories with one that was a little different.
Yes.
And it's kind of cool. You know, it's a person utilizing technology to their advantage. This is out of the Daily Interlake, so up in Kalispell, by Carol Marino. A new effort has been launched in the campaign to raise awareness of the dangers of the COVID-19. I'm sorry. Whoa. They have a horrible typo. They have COVID-10.
COVID 10?
I'm assuming that she went to hit 9 and hit the 0.
But that's an older version of COVID.
It's like the A-track.
Revenge of COVID.
Yeah, that really threw me off. I'm like, COVID 10? Why do I not know this? A new effort has been launched in the campaign to raise awareness of the dangers of the COVID-19 virus to Native American tribes in Montana. Shadow Devereaux, which is already the coolest name ever, who goes by his stage name, Foreshadow. He's a, and I apologize, I believe the Native American tribe is Salish or Salish, I don't know. Salish and Blackfoot hip hop artist from the Flathead Indian Reservation in Northwest Montana. He released a YouTube video entitled Protect Your People for the CSKT youth campaign aimed at ages 12 through 18. Devereaux's video follows on the heels of one previously released by 25-year-old Artie Mendoza, known as Kid Truth of Pablo. Mendoza's TikTok dance and song that teaches the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribal youth about the importance of such practices as hand washing, wearing face masks, and practicing social distancing quickly went viral on YouTube. Both music videos and TikTok dances emphasize tribal values and the need to protect tribal elders who are at greater risk of becoming ill if infected by the coronavirus. On his video, Devereaux writes, "This is a message to my people, man. This isn't just about us. This is about our elders. Protect your people. Preserve your culture. Protect your culture." So I'm trying to see if there's a place where you can find that. This guy's a pretty well known, though. He's been on stage with hip-hop artists like Waka Flocka Flame, Machine Gun Kelly, Yellow Wolf, Tech N9ne, Bone Thugs and Harmony, and was also a keynote speaker for a high school graduating class. Yeah,
just that's very cool.
Yeah, so it's real cool.
That is very cool. Do you have the fire story? Or do I have the fire story?
I gave you a fire story.
Where is it?
In your regionals? Did I send you? I sent you regionals.
I've only got two regionals. I've got the...
Right. So the one, I sent you one that you should want to read too. This is another out of the Columbia Basin Herald.
Just send it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Out of the Columbia Basin Herald. I've got that one.
Start with that one.
All right. I'll start with that one.
That one's quick.
All right. Regionals, Columbia Basin Herald. Shout out to our sister papers over paper, singular, and in Moses Lake. Fire starts on Saddle Mountain, grows to 1,400 acres. Matawa. How do you say that, Joe? M-A-T-T-A-W-A. Matawa.
Matawa.
Matawa. Okay. Yeah. Firefighting units from around the region respond... Oh, this was written by... Nope, no byline. Firefighting units from around the region responded to a fire on Saddle Mountain east of Matawa on Monday, according to the Grant County Sheriff's Office. When it was reported about 2:30 p.m., the fire was estimated to be between 300 and 600 acres, and no evacuations had been ordered. By 4 p.m., the fire had grown to an estimated 1,400 acres, though it was isolated on the top of the mountain range and was not threatening any structures. Citizens were asked to stay clear of the area to allow firefighters access to the wildfire. Drones are also not to be flown. Smoke from the fire reportedly limited visibility on Highway 26 east of Rural City. Oh, that was from Rachel Pinkerton.
Mm.
It's unfortunately... just like how 2020 is going, I think it's where our next step is wildfire season, unfortunately.
Right.
So, which leads us kind of to our next story.
But I do think we have some more ads there. So
while I grab
that ad, you're going to go find that story.
Yeah, where is it?
I found one on the Coeur d'Alene Press website. Okay. Fire near Spirit Lake burns 40 acres. But that one's from July 4th, and that fire flared back up yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, yes. So
you might want to see if you can find a more current version of that.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'll read my ad. Spice up your wellness routine at Prospect Fitness Studio. Morning or evening, Prospect boasts some of the most diverse fitness classes in the Silver Valley. Owner and head group fitness classes can be intimidating, but Prospect is the perfect place to start your fitness game. I'm assuming that Monica, our guest here, owner Monica, Prospect, I don't know. Read this ad. Look at this ad. She typed this? Yeah. Spice up your wellness routine at Prospect Fitness Studio. Morning or evening, Prospect boasts some of the most diverse fitness classes in the Silver Valley. Owner/head group fitness classes can be intimidating.
But Prospect is the best place to get started.
Owner/head group fitness instructor Monica Miller knows that classes can be intimidating, but Prospect is the perfect place to go to get started on your fitness game. Find Prospect on social media or stop by the studio at 110 South Division Street in Kellogg to ask questions, meet the gang, or check out a class today.
Perfect. All right.
Had to Had to clean that one up. But yeah, we had a, I mean, so this fire kind of kicked off.
So, yeah, so crews are currently working on putting out a 70-acre wildfire near Spirit Lake. Mm-hmm. That cropped up, I believe, on the 4th of July.
On Friday, 3rd of July.
3rd of July. 3rd of July. So that cropped up. That precipitated an evacuation of the entire lake area. They brought in hot shots. I mean, everybody basically came in and handled this. Idaho Department of Lands originally said the fire was expected to be fully extinguished by noon on Sunday, but there were... It popped back up later on, and they basically had to get it back under control with aerial units and whatnot. On Sunday, the fire had reached 40 acres and was 90% contained, but the fire flared up and continued to burn throughout the day. When crews pushed the timeline back to full containment at 8 p.m. Sunday, it just kept spreading. Wind conditions and whatnot had a factor in that. Also, an area with heavy fuels basically took on to that. As of this time, I don't believe it's in the process of being contained, but it's not all the way.
It sounds like the area is kind of difficult for them to work on, mm-hmm. Because it's not a very big fire, but they're having to use a helicopter mm-hmm. to get in there and
steep,
fight it.
Steep terrain, you got yeah. a lake next to you. But
was it started by fireworks?
Undetermined at this time, as far as I know.
That seems like
finding fairly... information on this one's hard. I don't know
yeah,
why. It's our first big wildfire of the year, and yep. nobody really has anything on it.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, all things considered, I mean, this one's 90 acres at its biggest, and
yeah, I mean,
just read one from Washington that 1,400,
yeah. So, I mean, as far as big wildfires go, this one's pretty small, but
so
in any case, okay, rock slide. Rocks. Do you got the rock slide story?
I don't have. I've been looking for it here, but I tell you what, some of the footage that they had on this rock slide was pretty spectacular. If you haven't seen it yet,
So here's the story that we got. This is an AP story. Highway 95 is temporarily closed currently due to a rock slide that basically came down. And why can't I scroll down? Oh.
At milepost 188 near Riggins is where this happened.
My system
the road froze. The road was blocked in both directions, according to the Idaho County Sheriff's Office. Now, Idaho County is directly south of us.
Yes.
And I believe is the biggest county in the state. Just a monster of a county, actually. There's no detour or alternate route to get around this blockage.
No, but I mean, there is this not.
This was.
I believe this is on our website.
An entire mountain face mm-hmm. just fell right onto the road. There. Like I said, there's some pretty breathtaking footage of it. Head on over to Facebook, and I think did we share the footage?
Idaho Transportation Department's been taking the lead on this one.
Well, were they plow that, or how do you?
Yeah, let me just. So they were working on it, and they initially had a timetable to open. They hoped to open up the roadway yesterday
mm-hmm.
on Monday, but unfortunately, the hillside looks like it might go again, so they had to pull back. So this is as of. Let's see here, 7/5. So that would be Sunday. US 95 will no longer be open to traffic between Pollock and Riggins this afternoon to allow for continued monitoring of the slide at milepost 188. Quote, this is from IDT District Engineer Doral Hoff. We know this is contradictory to what we had hoped to accomplish today and will cause long detours for travelers heading home. However, without enough data and uncertainty about an apparent gap at the top of the hillside, we are concerned it might be still active. Yesterday around 4:30, crews left site once a crack in the rock face became visible from below. They'd been working on a temporary road around the slide as well as building a rock berm and placing container boxes to shield traffic once allowed to pass through. So as of now, I believe that is still blocked.
Mm.
No one was injured in that, even though people were very close to it when the rock face... I mean, like you said, there was some good video of the initial rock slide, and it only sounds like there's... There might be another. So we'll see how that goes. But if you're planning on traveling south, consider an alternate route. Maybe go, like if you're heading toward Boise, maybe take the Tri-Cities Pendleton route.
Right.
Instead of heading straight through Idaho, because you will be turned around most likely or have to find some other.
I wonder how much of this is result of the like constant earthquakes that
maybe.
Have been kind of just rocking that little area down
Maybe.
There in southern
it's
Idaho.
Possible, yeah.
Central and southern Idaho.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, at this point, that's about the only thing that I can think of.
Sure.
But Rock Slide's totally par for the course this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, whatever. Why not? Yep. Why not have Rock Slide?
Yep.
What are we at? We skipped handshakes for obvious reasons.
Yeah, we're not supposed to do handshakes right now. On the Swanson Pyramid of Greatness.
Body grooming.
Yes. Only women shave beneath the neck.
That's fair.
That is fair.
That's fair. But even now, I think body hair is becoming more socially acceptable.
It is.
So I mean, if you're all about the au naturel look, you will not be able to be a part of the Swanson Pyramid of Greatness. Sorry. Dang. Man.
Regionals right now, right?
Yeah. Regionals, just a lot of important news. Usually we only do four, but today we did six because, well, I mean, we probably could have gotten away with skipping the one in Washington and the one with the Native American hip hop artist, but
yeah.
We needed to make it known that we wanted some levity and to let people know that bad things happen in Washington too. They're not just happening in North Idaho.
Let's also, we don't always do this, but let's talk about what we've got on deck right now, because we, for the first time in a while, we know like what we're focusing on. I've got a great story on deck about Mrs. Blalack installing a wheelchair accessible swing in Pinehurst.
Right.
As far as I know, this is the only one in, I mean, there's very few of them in the state. Definitely the only one in the region.
Right.
This is a very cool story that I've gotten the interview for, just got to write that up. And I've also got a story coming out of Avery. After some a little uncertainty, the famous fish pond down there finally was restocked with local fish.
Yep.
And that's continuing an over 100-year tradition down there. So we'll have a story on that in the Friday edition.
I have a few. I've got a lot of city meetings this week.
Yes, you do.
With some hot-button issues. We got some planning and zoning issues revolving around a campground up the North Fork.
Talked about that a little earlier.
Wall City Council is exploring the possibility of keeping their diagonal parking permanent. Kellogg City Council will be discussing their large event policy.
Yep.
So I'm a little curious to see how that stacks up compared to other cities. And
Told you about this yet, but you got a request to go back to the State House Museum.
The State House Museum.
What is it
Staff
called?
House?
Staff House. Yes, thank you. It's free right now to go in, and they're doing a special thing on the 100-year thing of women's suffrage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they requested that you come back up and visit them, which I know you enjoy going up
Fantastic.
There.
Fantastic.
Other than that, what else do we got?
Might even take Chloe to that one.
There you go. That's not a bad idea. We haven't done one of those with Chloe in a while.
Yeah, she likes those. And then, some other just kind of local news stories, real life. I know they're going to be opening here in a couple weeks.
Oh, something that we didn't mention in the COVID story. That was a big part of it. Not only so you mentioned that Kellogg student athletes, they were subjected to the COVID. Student athletes were subjected to people who had tested positive for COVID. Mm-hmm. That's number one. As of what was it? Just training facilities are shut down at the moment?
Yeah.
But sports are still on track.
Sports are still on track, okay. But...
And then number two, Heritage Health up in Kellogg
will
be – maybe that's for the best because we're going to get the main story here tomorrow. Josh and I will be going to Heritage Health up in Kellogg to talk about how they are now, as of Wednesday, when you guys are listening to this, COVID-19 testing will be offered at Heritage Health.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to call and make an appointment and whatnot, but this is – it's kind of the middle ground. It's not like SMC where you have to get a doctor's note and that kind of thing. It's a little more streamlined than that. But it's not like Kootenai Health where you can literally drive up and they'll stick something up your nose.
While you're in your car.
Right, while you're in your car. You've got to do something else. So you've got to give them a call. But we will have that story for you on Friday.
Perfect.
Definitely.
Well, once again, I think we'd like to thank this week's title sponsor, Bank CDA. What is your relationship status with your bank? It's time to go steady with Bank CDA. You want local? You want flexible? You want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com. I love that commercial. Whoever wrote that.
That's pretty good.
That's a solid
one. Kudos to them.
Yeah.
All right. That's everything we've got for this week. Thanks for tuning in, guys. As usual, really appreciate it. You guys are loving that Severe Wood episode. That's one of our highest rated ones in a while. Maybe that's a good idea to bring in some more musical guests. We're actually kind of working on one right now.
That and Simon Miller. You guys just can't get enough.
Yeah, and Simon, man, you guys just need to hear more about that tech news. You're all about it.
Yeah.
we're okay with that. We'll bring Simon in and talk more about tech. That's fine. That's doing great. And then musical guest, we're on the horizon. Sevier Wood's going to definitely be back again, even be more of a fixture here going forward. We'll see how that kind of works out. But as for a new musical guest, we might have locally born musician Casey Ryan coming in.
Yeah.
He'll be coming here in the next couple weeks. So that'll be interesting to have him in the studio. I know you and Monica definitely know him.
Yes, graduated with him, so it'll be should be a fun interview.
That'll be a Kellogg reunion right there.
Perfect.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Please like, comment, and share all of our stuff. You can find all the stories that we talked about on ShoshoneNewsPress.com or on our Facebook page or on the websites of the papers that we talked about in the regionals. If you would please leave us a nice review on whatever you listen to us on. Apple Podcasts is always helpful, but anything helps. 5-star reviews are always nice, and if you have any comments for us, leave a 5-star review and then let us know. You know, shoot us a message, say, sure, hey, I wish that pun Santa came on more or something like that.
Just hasn't been very many puns lately.
I know, we need more puns. All right, everybody, thanks for listening once again, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.